Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. You're listening to American Family Radio. We thank you for joining us today. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on today.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning.
And Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Doing good, Tim. How are you?
Doing well. Ray's in Kansas City, KS, and we're in Tupelo, MS. And we thank you for joining us wherever you may be listening to American Family Radio. Nice day there in Kansas City, or what?
I was just thinking, you were going to ask me that. Yeah. It's kind of a dripping day. We had rain yesterday, and we're just getting the leftover drippings this morning. And once that moves out, it's going to be a fine day. We're a couple hours away from that. But otherwise, all is good.
But you're going to be on your bike this afternoon?
If we get a little sun.
Okay.
If there's some sun, I will. We'll see.
Okay. Well, Walker, tell everybody how they can join us there.
Yeah, we have a couple ways on the internet to keep up with today's issues, the radio show. You can visit our website, afr.net. We have a listen live button there. It works very well if you want to listen at work or wherever you are. We also have the AFR app. It has the same features on your Apple or Android device. Just type in AFR in your app store. And last of all, we live stream the video for the show. So on YouTube and Facebook, just make sure you type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the radio show on both of those platforms.
Nobody's going to ask me about my shirt?
Hey, what kind of shirt you got on there?
This is my Masters.
Practice round starts today, right?
No.
No. This first round is today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I saw CBS airing from
yesterday.
They were promoting Saturday and Sunday, but that may be, right. Just be the 2 days right. They're carrying it.
Yeah, no, today starts the Masters Golf Tournament, which will remain in Georgia. They
didn't move it to Colorado?
No, Stacey Abrams wanted them to move it out, I think, and Joe Biden, he said, well, it's up to them.
So practice round's already over.
But they couldn't, it was they said it was just not enough time to move the golf course.
it would take more than a weekend to move a golf course.
Yes. Of course, we're kidding around here, folks, but that was brought up last week, you know, and after the voting law was passed in Georgia. But now I got my Masters shirt on here in the green, the yellow, Augusta National. Yeah, it does start today, though, and so
you want to pick a winner. It's Thursday. Pick a winner.
Yeah, I didn't qualify, by the way.
This year you didn't. You didn't.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. I missed it by, I don't know, 30 years and being great at golf. That was the only two things that kept me out of the Masters. That's a good, you know, picking golf tournament winners is not like football or baseball or basketball or something where you have the same court everywhere, right?
Right.
But here you have 18 different holes and different hole locations and things like that. It's just a lot of fun to watch. I don't know. I pull for the Christian guys.
Yeah.
You know, I just do because I like to see that. But I don't really care otherwise who wins. I know that Bubba Watson won twice. You know, a few years
right.
ago.
He's a good player.
Yes, and he's a believer, and I was glad to see that. But you know. We'll see what happens. Webb Simpson's another strong Christian on the PGA Tour that I pull for. So we'll see. It's a lot of fun to watch. Sunday, even if you don't care anything about golf,
right.
Even if you don't care anything about golf at all, if you need to check and see Sunday afternoon, I'm talking about 3 days from now, if there's two or three guys, Ray.
Right.
Who are within like two or three strokes of one another? You want to watch some good human drama play out,
right? Coming through Amen Corner,
yes,
right,
yes, right? Yes. I mean, tune in Sunday afternoon if it's close. You will enjoy it. And it's a beautiful, scenery.
A fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Walker and I went over there for a practice round in Augusta, what, 4 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's just hard to describe how green it is. My wife, Allison, she's a yard perfectionist, and she was searching for weeds.
There is none.
And no, you couldn't find one weed.
Yeah, you talk about, every square inch of the course gets detailed attention. There is no weeds. There is no, you know, the pine straw's not messed up anywhere.
Perfect. Well, the Augusta National is like, if you have $50 million, you're probably one of the poor guys in the
yes, club. That's right.
The money is no object to these people. In fact, I'll tell you one quick story, and then we'll move on. I know there's much more serious things to talk about, folks, when we're going to get to it. But one funny story, interesting story. A friend of mine went to the Augusta National for the Masters. This is a few years ago. And the members wear green jackets. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes from. They wear green jackets. Well, the members also work the golf tournament. And by work, I mean, you know, helping patrons and even picking up trash and walking around. A lot of them, they're trying to be friendly to people and welcome everybody to the Masters. And my buddy struck up a conversation with one of these gentlemen who was wearing a green jacket, and they were just talking. And the other fellow, small talk. My other fellow said, "What do you do?" And my friend told him, "Well, I do such and such. I live in Tupelo, Mississippi." And he said, the other gentleman, who's about 80, 75 or 80, said, "Well, my name is so-and-so, so-and-so, nice to meet you." Never told him what he did. Well, my friend Googled the guy after he left the con. Well, no, you can't carry a cell phone on the golf course.
Right.
You can't carry a cell phone on the golf course. You do. If they find out you have one, you get kicked out. So my friend Googled the guy. He was like the owner of one of the Charlotte, North Carolina professional sports franchises, worth like $2 billion or something, $2 or $3. I mean, it was he was there just to help out, to help out. Anyway, that was a pretty cool story. All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday, but American Family Radio. Today's issues. Go, Fred.
Yeah. You know, if you're still listening to some mainstream media and about what's going on at the border, you know, many of them are still refusing to use the word crisis. Unbelievable. Despite what we're seeing on some networks, the pictures that we're seeing, it is bad and it is getting worse. And any attempt by President Joe Biden not to blame himself, let's go down memory lane as we get underway today, 2019, then candidate Joe Biden tells us what's going on at the border today is what he wanted.
This is the president who's done a great deal, so I'm proud to have served with him. What I would do as president is several more things, because things have changed. I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
All right. So I hope you're convinced by the words of Joe Biden himself.
He wanted a surge.
He wanted a surge.
Right.
So what did he do? Executive orders, stop building the wall. Stop building the wall. Even though it's been paid for, the materials are there. Right. Stop building the wall. So I said it's getting worse. Governor Abbott of Texas yesterday held a news conference. And it's in reference to the Biden Detention Center in San Antonio, Texas. Over 1,300 of the 18,000 to 19,000 that are now in various detention centers around this country. 18,000 to 19,000. This particular place has over 1,300 packed in there. What Governor Abbott announced yesterday is that there are now reports of incidents of sexual assault inside that San Antonio Biden Detention Center. Let's have a listen to Governor Abbott.
These problems are a byproduct of President Biden's open border policies. This facility is a health and safety nightmare. The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. To end this abuse, the Biden administration must immediately shut down this facility. The children who are in this facility should be moved to other federally run facilities where the federal government has the space, personnel, and resources to ensure their safety.
Now, in relation, you heard what the governor is recommending there, but there's a problem. And the former ICE director, Tom Holman, was on Fox this morning saying that indeed there are federal facilities that have been established and set up to deal with people coming across the border. But listen to what he had to say. They are not being used by the Biden administration. Cut three.
We have family residential centers that are licensed, that are run by contractors who work through ICE, who have pediatricians on site, social workers on site, child psychologists. These were built for vulnerable people, women and children. And they're practically empty because the Biden administration calls them for-profit prisons. So they rather walk away from the state-of-the-art facility, the gold standard, for vulnerable people. They walk away from these facilities, leave them half empty, and they're signing contracts with federal NGOs. Some of these contracts are being awarded to people that work the Biden transition team, the Biden campaign. They're going to companies like the Endeavor, $86 million for hotel rooms. That's $77,000 per alien. When we have family residential centers who were built for the very same reason, taking care of these children. It's ridiculous.
Now, what Mr. Holman had to say there, this was new to me. That we actually have federal facilities, contracted facilities, that are open and ready to take at least some of these people, but the Biden administration has turned it down, calling them for-profit prisons. So instead, we have, and there was a facility yesterday, there was another delegation of Republicans went to the border. There's one facility, I believe, in Texas, where there is a holding area that should only hold about 33 people. If you apply COVID restrictions, like Joe Biden's federal government says we should, you know how many are in there that should only have 33? 500 packed into that.
And more coming.
There is no end to this.
Yeah, this is an absolute catastrophe. And I would have said there was a 50-50 chance that this wouldn't hurt the Biden administration because the media would not report on it. Because they want to cover for their guy.
Mm-hmm.
However, the dam is bursting. The dam metaphorically would be the media trying to protect the Biden administration from negative consequences of these dangerous ideas and proposals and policy decisions that they've made that put all these, especially these thousands of children at risk. But that you can't hide it anymore. I feel so sorry for Governor Abbott. Think about this, folks. Governor Abbott of Texas and the Arizona governor, the California guy, Newsom, he doesn't give a rip. And in fact, they ought to send everybody to California because they're a sanctuary state. But in Texas, Governor Abbott, poor fella, think about this. You're having tens of thousands of people come in. It could be by the end of the year, they're saying 1 million. That come over the border, and the numbers we report on are just the ones who are caught, right? Who are detained.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Think about if you got border and think of all the drugs and human trafficking and what the cartels are doing. If you got border patrol agents who are supposed to be securing the border, and instead they've got three little 5-year-olds by their hands trying to take them to the van to get them to a shelter. Okay, think about this for a minute, but what you got here is Democrat congressmen that are now saying this is a crisis we can't handle. So we got to have some help. Something's got to be done. You have a columnist for the New York Times who can't stand Donald Trump, President Trump. Today I read calling for the wall to be continued because we have to have a deterrent. So you've got a catastrophic mess on your hands if you're Biden, and he put Harris, Vice President Harris, in charge of this, and she doesn't have a clue. Okay, she's traveling the country on her jet. She hasn't even been to the border. She's made one phone call, I understand it, to one of the Central American presidents. She's supposed to be studying the root cause and addressing the root causes of why these hundreds of thousands, soon to be a million people, are coming here, crossing our border. You don't need a study. You don't need a study for this. You need to stop it. You need to stop it. And I tell you, everybody knows what the reasons is. Mm-hmm. It's because the economic conditions in Central America, basically, which is of their own making, with the exception of the natural disasters like a hurricane. Those countries have always been poor, and they always will be poor because they're corrupt, they're socialist, they're uneducated people, they live in poverty, and we can't solve that problem. And what Biden will come back with now in a few weeks is we need to send them $1 billion down there. So that'll go into I'm sure that'll be distributed properly, right. But just sort of, we did that a few years ago. You would have to fundamentally change that place. So the only job and responsibility of the border control to me and ICE is to protect our borders. We can't take the world's poor, right. And we have no moral obligation to do that. I feel sorry for these people. I really do. I have compassion for them. But if the standard is because people want to come here because they want a better life and they're poor, then let's just do away with borders altogether, Walker. Mm-hmm. Do away with passports. Let's just welcome the world, because we need to take care of them.
Yeah, even if you view it as America's responsibility to export capitalism, free market ideals, and liberty.
But that would be imperialism.
World. Yeah, right. The way you don't do that is having open borders. That helps these countries zero, none. It does not. It has no positive impact long term. All it does is hurt America. So if you want to export, first off, to your point, these countries down in Central and South America, they're going to have major reforms and really revolutions to start implementing freedom. Political revolutions in their countries to implement freedom and have a constitution and individual liberty and law and order. That's going to happen on their watch. That's their responsibility. And then if America wants to aid that, that's fine. But letting people into our country, removing our border, is only one other
aspect of this, and Ray, you comment too, and I mentioned this before. Isn't it ironic that the same people who say that America is systemically racist tell all these brown folks they need to come to the racist country? We welcome all the people into our racist country. Huh? Mm-hmm. You not find this odd?
Yeah.
That this is going on. Listen, this only too speaks, we don't have time for a history lesson here exactly, but this only speaks, the reason we have the wealth and prosperity and a way of life that is envied by the world, folks, is because of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Our Judeo-Christian heritage, which came from our founding fathers who were geniuses. Mm-hmm. They were modern day, at their time, geniuses.
Yes.
Their ideas have lasted over 200 years of self-governance, and freedom and liberty and the advancement of man through education has led to so many things. I can't even mention it. America's the greatest country that's ever existed in terms of human advancement and freedom and liberty and those things. So, which a lot of these secular leftists, quote, progressives want to tear all this down. They want to tear all this down. So go ahead, Ray. I guess I've preached enough there.
Well, number one, when Mr. Trump came into office in 2017, we said there's a crisis on the southern border. And over the 4 years he was in office, they started building the wall, did a great many renovations down there. The wall was coming right along. So what happens? Trump's out, Biden's in. Complete reversal. What is happening now? Because Mr. Trump gave to Joe Biden a pretty good situation, not perfect, but a pretty good situation. Yes. On the southern border. What has Joe Biden done? He's not only gone backwards, he's doubled down on the failed policies of the past. So let's just be clear about this, folks. This was not only a completely avoidable tragedy, it was foreseeable. Everybody knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yes.
we got Joe Biden. He got rid of the, you know, got rid of funding for the rest of the wall, and he opened the borders and he said, "Come on in."
Yep.
So we have this catastrophe. And honestly, right now, you're right. I do feel bad for Governor Abbott because there's limits to what a state governor can do, but it is a mess, and well, it's going to get worse.
Yes, think about this. You're Governor Abbott. You've been elected to provide, to the best of your ability, to provide security and safety and law and order for your state, right?
Yeah. That's
right. That's one of your, that's at the top of your agenda as governor of a state. His hands are tied. Mm-hmm. He has to sit and watch, basically, as hundreds of thousands of people are pouring into his state. Mm-hmm. Right. Who knows, by the end of the year, maybe a million, 1 to 2 million, they're saying. All these people pouring into his state, and he can't do anything about it. He's helpless. He has to rely on the president of the United States, who I don't even know if President Biden has called the governor. I haven't heard, to say, "What's going on? Can I help you? I'll be down there. I've got Vice President Harris in charge of this. What are your recommendations? What do you think we need to do?" No, none of that. Joe Biden is just ignoring it, trying to ignore it. Jen Psaki, his spokesperson, gives us a lame excuse every day, trying to not even call it a crisis, calling it a challenge. Meanwhile, Democrats on mm-hmm. congressmen down in Texas are saying this is a crisis. Mm-hmm. And Vice President Harris, she's not even for borders.
That's right.
She's called ICE the KKK. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Biden puts her in charge of solving the problems.
Yeah.
It's
lunacy.
It's a dereliction of duty at its highest as president of the United
States.
And
can you imagine, remember when President Trump named Vice President Pence as the basically heading up the Coronavirus Response Task Force? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he went 15 days without even having a press conference related to the coronavirus?
Yeah.
That's what's happened here.
Yeah.
She hasn't been to the border. She's not talking about the border. I actually haven't even seen any records of her talking to leaders from those countries.
One phone call. She doesn't believe in it. She doesn't believe in the cause that Biden gave her to tackle.
Yeah, no. Good point. Right. And if she really believed in it, she would be flying down to South and Central America and meeting with those leaders and say, "You better stop this or we're not sending you any more money." Right.
But here's what's going on here. They don't want any pictures of Joe Biden or Kamala Harris down near that border.
It's the government by Biden and Harris censoring coverage.
Oh, no question about it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Chicago, going to walk in the street having a piece of chocolate cake.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for the breaking news that she and the mayor of Chicago, Lightfoot, went to a beauty salon together.
Yeah.
You know, this is absolutely insane. Maybe when we come back from the break, there was a Bristol County, Massachusetts sheriff on Thomas Hodge on Fox and Friends this morning. This, you may think, thank God I don't live in Texas or Arizona or New Mexico. Folks, the problem is coming to your town. And that's what these sheriffs are warning about. Because a lot of these folks are getting on buses and they're heading out.
Yes. And let me tell you another thing. The moral responsibility here for Biden is great. Because he's the one that encouraged all these people to come. And these people are sending children by the tens of thousands to our country unaccompanied. You tell me. I mean, he's incentivized that.
Yes.
And then he wants to, all he can do right now is try to find another convention center to put 3,000 kids in every few days. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
I think I've got a
stumper
for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
Da-dum, 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 da-dum.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
Jesse Hamilton prepared meals for the men of Phi Gamma Delta for about 14 years. Her presence at Louisiana State University was life-changing for many of the fraternity brothers. She eventually went on to other jobs in life, cleaning and cooking, still hard at work, even at the age of 74. Andrew Fusciati was one of the young men who ate her cooking back in the day. And when he found out Mrs. Hamilton was still on the job, he just knew an intervention was in order. So he contacted a few of his fraternity brothers, and they decided to pay off Mrs. Hamilton's mortgage. And on her 74th birthday, they surprised her with a catered meal and a great big check, totaling more than $50,000. All those attending were given T-shirts proclaiming Jesse Hamilton Day and hankies as well to wipe away the tears. It was an emotional scene, those grown men taking care of a sweet lady who made sure they had a home-cooked meal. I'm Todd Starnes.
I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the day of his return. Philippians 1:6.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Jan Markell will be joining us just in a couple of minutes here, and Alex McFarland this half hour as well. Fred, you were talking, our top story was Governor Abbott saying there's child sexual abuse going on in
San Antonio Detention Center.
Detention Center, and he demands that this be closed and people move. Okay.
Yes.
I read this on a message board. Tell me if this is fact or not. Since this facility is considered a federal facility, state law enforcement will not be allowed into it. If there is an investigation, unless there is something in the law that I don't know about, this fellow says, about the Biden administration, the Biden administration can lock it down, preventing state access. Does that sound accurate to you?
Well, that's why Governor Abbott called the news conference yesterday to call on the Biden administration to do something about this.
Okay, because he can't.
Yes, because the federal government has taken over this Coliseum and turned it into a detention center.
So that doesn't allow Walker the state government to come. How does that work exactly? Can the state government come in?
Yeah, the states are sovereign for the most part. States are sovereign territories within the country, and states can boot out the feds to a certain extent. But when you get into that topic of immigration and border control. And Border Patrol, it is heavily a federal issue. So, but remember, California told ICE to take a hike under the Trump administration. Gavin Newsom told ICE they were not welcomed in California. So what did ICE do? ICE, for the most part, left California. So
you're saying that's an example of a governor kicking out the federal government?
Yes, a governor can tell the feds that they're not welcomed.
But in this case, this fellow's saying that the state, I don't know, Governor Abbott said something about sending in state officials here, but and feds may allow it. But anyway, listen, you got tens of thousands now of minors being held by the U.S. government, and what are they doing all day? Just sitting around in convention centers and college. I mean,
yeah, the feds. But to your point, the feds cannot. When I say the feds, I'm talking about the federal government. The feds cannot come in and take over a private coliseum without the authority of the local municipality and the state government. That's not federal property. So they have to have the consent of the governor and the mayor of the city.
Yeah. Ray, any thoughts on this at all?
It's an extremely volatile situation down there. And I don't think any of us are surprised that we're hearing stories about sexual assault. When you put people in cages that the Obama administration built
for weeks and months on end.
That's right. And you put them in basically situations none of us would ever care to be in, and you do that for weeks and months on end. This is exactly what's going to happen. And I hope Governor Abbott will use whatever power he has to step in.
Yeah, that's why he called a press conference yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Was that even covered by the National Press Corps?
Fox News covered it, yes.
Yeah. Let me just for fun here. Let me see what CNN's top story is right now. CNN breaking news: heated debate over vaccine passports. Lieutenant Governor says election law was a result of Trump and misinformation. Pulmonary expert Floyd was trying to breathe with his fingers and knuckles. That's the George Floyd trial. So. That's what I'm talking about here. CNN's covering. For example, this is an example of what I was talking about earlier. We have the governor of Texas pleading with the federal government, and it's not. I don't even see it as one of their top news stories on CNN. So, what the mainstream liberal news media tries, what they do, it's not by what they cover. Oftentimes, it's by what they don't cover. Mm-hmm. So, if you only get your news from, let's say, Yahoo or CNN or you're shielded from the disaster that's at the southern border for the most part. You see what I'm saying? Not altogether, but for the most part. So, but I don't think that's going to hold. I think this story is going to break out on its own.
I'm just looking at CBS, not a mention of the border. Not a mention.
Yeah. Yeah. The liberal media, this is their guy. Biden and Harris, that's their guy and their lady. They're woman, and they got to protect them, but this is going to be one of the main reasons why the Democrats lose the House of Representatives next year. Don't you think so, Walker?
Oh yeah, there's no way they sustain the House.
Nancy Pelosi she'll have to go home to San Francisco.
Yeah, this is a disaster.
Yeah,
and
this alone.
There's no sign of it getting any better.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Jan Markell joins us now. She's host of Understanding the Times. And it's a radio program we feature each weekend, Saturdays at 1 o'clock Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time right here on AFR. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. This is Holocaust Remembrance Day, right?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, Israel came to a standstill today in memory of all of those who suffered and perished. This was declared, I'm not sure, well, everything ended 76 years ago. They've picked today as the date because this is the day of the Warsaw Uprising in Poland, where the Jews finally fought back in the mid-1940s. Obviously, they lost. And so this is the day of memory. And, of course, I had a long-standing relationship with the Holocaust survivor, Anita Dittman, and you folks actually interviewed her. This would have been at NRB a few years ago, and she passed away here just about a year ago. So Most Holocaust survivors, if they were adults, are now gone. If they were children and teens, they may still be alive, and a few hundred thousand. But this was a terrible moment in history in the 30s and 40s. And, of course, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that, unfortunately, another Holocaust is coming, and that'll be during the tribulation, which is really intended to bring Israel to faith, from which the church is absent. But anyway, it's a very solemn day, and Israel literally shuts down in memory of the those who perished and the survivors.
Jan, I'm not a betting man, as Brother Don often said, but I would be willing to bet if a survey was done today of school kids across this country,
yes,
and you were to ask them what the Holocaust was, have they ever heard of it? I'd be willing to bet that the vast majority would probably say, never heard of it, and it's never been taught in our classrooms.
Well, Fred, I've actually done radio on that topic at least two or three times, and I've played clips of, I think it was heavily high school and college students, and they were asked some of the basic questions, I mean, fundamental questions of that time period, and of the Holocaust, and they knew nothing. They didn't know the name of one camp, such as Auschwitz, Theresienstadt, and they'd never heard of it. I think they were even asked who would have been president of the United States at that time, and they didn't even know that. So there's been a campaign in the last 10, 15 years to get this back into the schools, and in some states that's been successful, I think a half a dozen states, and where it's gotten back into the schools, the students obviously are educated. Where it's not in the schools, again, this incredible blind ignorance continues. And, I mean, this is one of the most significant events in human history, certainly modern history, the annihilation of almost all of European Jewry. And, you know, the Jews of Europe had been encouraged to leave in the late 20s, early 30s, told to get out because this was coming. And 95% either didn't believe this was going to happen or they didn't have enough money to leave. And so they became sitting ducks and were annihilated. So, you know, and I think my concern is the growing, rising anti-Semitism everywhere in America, all over the world. This is rising and at an alarming level. So I think, you know, your listeners are aware of that, and I try to keep them apprised as well on my radio program.
What are you going to be discussing this weekend on your show?
I have Pastor Jack Hibbs this weekend, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of interesting issues. Jack was quite involved in the Trump administration, and he's going to have some interesting comments on where we've been politically, where might we be going politically. And Jack is one of the most articulate fellows out there. He's Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California. I think your audience will be very informed this weekend.
Okay, join Jan and Pastor Jack Hibbs Saturday here on American Family Radio at 1 o'clock Central Time or Sundays at noon Central Time.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, I know.
The program is called Understanding the Times, Jan Markell's program. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Any thoughts on what Jan was sharing there, Ray?
I'm just struck by the word remembrance, because as you guys were pointing out, Fred, you were pointing out that our youngsters – our high school, our junior high, they don't know what it is. You tell them Auschwitz, they don't know. You tell them Treblinka, they don't know. You tell them that 6 million Jews at least, and there are millions of others perished as well, but 6 million Jews perished in the Holocaust of World War II. There are, you know, sometimes we hear it said, thrown off lightly, those who don't understand the past are doomed to repeat it. Well, I'll tell you, that's very true in this situation. The reason we need to remember it so that the memory will never perish from the face of the earth, one of the reasons we need to remember it is so that we can make sure it never happens again.
You know, I've heard some interesting discussions in recent years You know, the Nazi game plan leading up to the to what happened to the 6 million Jews was to discredit them, to describe that group of people as a problem, as a deterrent for their nation moving forward. And to me, it's kind of scary when I see what's happening in this country with regards to a growing narrative that there's a group of people, those Bible-believing Christians, who are holding this country back. You know, 24 years ago when I came here, I would find it hard to believe that this, what's happening today, is transpiring. But I'm seeing this more and more, that there is an effort to discredit a whole group of people and describe them as being a problem that's keeping the country from advancing. And it's us folks. It's conservative evangelical Christians. And folks need to be aware of that.
Well, I saw a story about that the other day. It was USA Today or somewhere, and they said, you know, the problem is we can't get these evangelical Christians to get vaccines.
Yeah.
In mass. Mm-hmm. I think a majority of evangelical Christians have been vaccinated for the COVID, or as my other son likes to say, got the shot for.
Yeah,
he says, quit calling it a vaccine, because in his mind, a vaccine means it stops it altogether.
But right. Right.
But anyway, it's splitting hairs here, I know. But to your point, Fred, there was like, okay, how do we get these these ignorant people to give into the science here, right? Mm. And if they don't, we need to do something about it, okay? But that's just one case of how we evangelical Christians are viewed by these elitists, these secular elitists, as we're flat earthers who need to be dealt with, yeah. You know. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Joining us now is our good friend Dr. Alex McFarland, who joins us from the Charlotte area or North Carolina, in North Carolina. He's co-host of Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio with Bert Harper each afternoon from 3 to 4 o'clock Central Time. It's a live, on-air Bible study, which you will thoroughly enjoy. If you haven't listened to it, Alex and Bert do a great job, and they take phone calls. So if you want to learn more about the Scriptures, listen to those guys. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be on.
Hey, how far are you from Charlotte, by the way?
50 minutes, under an hour.
I was reading earlier this morning there was a mass murder last night.
Yeah, very sad. Involving a football player or an ex-NFL player, I think.
In Charlotte. That's when not in Charlotte, in Rock Hill.
Rock Hill, which is just right across the line. You know, Rock Dr. Hill is kind of famous because that's where Jim Baker had the Heritage USA or something.
PTL.
You remember that?
Yeah, PTL.
But Charlotte has just grown so much. I mean, there are something like 2 million people in the greater Charlotte area,
right,
which would include Rock Hill. But, this former NFL player, Philip Adams, killed several people, including himself, early this morning. Very, very sad.
Well, there was it's breaking news, but there was his former NFL player from South Carolina, and he went to the home of this prominent doctor in Charlotte who wrote columns each week for the Charlotte Observer on medicine and health.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 70 years old. This fellow went in their home. Hmm. It wasn't a robbery, it doesn't appear. The fellow had some connection. His parents or he had been to this doctor before, but the guy murdered the doctor, his wife, and a six and 9 year old grandchildren, and another man who was 32 who was there just working at their house. And anyway, that I saw that happened over, I guess it was overnight.
I couldn't presume what the motive might be. Maybe it.
Who knows?
Something he had written in a column or something.
Who knows? His dad, the guy who died, the guy who murdered him, who also died a self-inflicted wound, a suicide. said that, quote, football messed him up, end quote. I don't know what it means by that. Maybe CTE or something like that. Who knows? But anyway, I bring that up only because that's a breaking story, and it's right down the road from you.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Fred, you wanted to bring up a question for our brother Alex?
Yeah, there is a link on One News Now to a PJ Media story this morning that certainly caught my attention. There is a a book out there, a book of devotionals. The title is A Rhythm of Prayer, a collection of meditations for renewal. Now, according to this story, it's a New York Times bestseller. So it is a collection of devotionals, what I can gather, written by a number of different people. In that,
but it's on the New York Times bestseller list.
Bestseller list. Okay. Someone also told me that it's being sold in places like Target department stores. I haven't confirmed that. One of the devotions is written by a Dr. Chinakwa Walker Barnes. Now, she is a professor of theology at Mercer University in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Now, it shocked me because I was sent images of this 2 or 3 page devotional inside this larger book. Here is what she said. Dear God.
Are you quoting her now?
I'm quoting the book? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided, racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can stop being racist. End quote. And then she goes on to talk about those Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color, but who make thinly veiled racist comments about those people. The people who are happy to have me over for dinner, but alert the neighborhood watch anytime an unrecognized person of color passes their house.
Is this part of the devotion?
This is part of the devotion.
What kind of devotion is this?
Yeah, isn't it edifying?
Oh.
Now, she's a professor at Mercer University in Georgia. Isn't Mercer a Baptist school?
Mercer was founded by the Baptists in 1833. And if they have one shred of common sense and fidelity to God's word, this professor, quote-unquote, should be fired. Now, you know how the woke left, is always making up crazy, non-existent words. On her LinkedIn page, among other things, this Chinakwa Walker Barnes, she says her personal mission is, quote, to dismantle white supremacist heteropatriarchy. See, we were guilty of heteropatriarchy, whatever that means, you know? But she's going to dismantle it while practicing good self-care.
She's a seminary professor.
Yeah.
In Georgia at Mercer. This world's turned upside down. A Baptist school hires a woman who is a seminary professor who writes a devotional as part of this book. What's the name of the book?
Name of the book, A Rhythm of Prayer, a collection of meditations for renewal.
And she starts with her devotion by saying, Dear God, please help me to hate white people. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Sometimes people write provocative things to get people's attention to make a point when they don't really mean that. That's done a lot of times. Or they come back to say, okay, I say something outrageous. Now I've got your attention. I didn't really mean that. Is there anything like that here involved?
Not that we can see. And by the way, notice it doesn't say hate racist white people, although that in itself would be bad, because if you're a follower of the true and living God, you can't hate anybody. In fact, Jesus said in John 13, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. But understand the assumption, and this is critical race theory, that all white people are racist. They're misguided racist souls.
Is that critical race theory?
Yeah. I mean, you are racist if you are Caucasian. That's just in the DNA.
Most black people do not believe that.
Well, rational people do not believe that, you know. But this is wokeness at its most insane and most toxic.
But Alex, this also gets into critical race theory. It's all one and the same almost, and which teaches basically that minorities or people with darker skin are always going to be oppressed. And then the so-called white man, the one with lighter skin, is always going to be the oppressor.
Where is this written?
Well, that's the critical race theory.
That's one of their presuppositions. Right. I want to say this. Obviously, as a Christian and as an American and as a believer in objective morality, all human beings are worthy of respect. Every person has worth and value and dignity made in God's image as a human being. But I'm going to say this, and I'm only speaking for myself, so if I'm speaking out of turn here, calm me down. Race has become an idol to many black Americans. And, you know, we often hear about the sin of racism. I would submit, and I've got many, many, many black friends of many walks of life, Christian, non-Christian, many vocations. But I want to say this. The idea that every white person is a racist, I'm due all these special rights, and I'm a victim, and let's slash and burn America. I want to say this. Race and wokeness and social justice, even for some Christian blacks, has become an idol. And the sin of racism is not just hatred on the part of those who might be racist, but only God knows another person's heart. But I would say that the sin of racism is quickly becoming that it is an idol before which people blindly bow.
You know, Alex, I think one thing we should all be striving towards is just not even to look at one's skin color. Because when we look at Scripture, we're all one race, the human race.
Amen.
And we just have different shades of skin. And I think our society, for better or worse, has been fixated on the skin color issue, and they call it race. And that's how we base half of our decision-making is on what skin color people have.
On melanin, the amount of melanin, or lack thereof.
This is on purpose by communists.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to divide America. And Charles Barkley, the basketball announcer, talked about this the other day. I don't know if we have that or not. Do we still have that? I don't know that Charles Barkley knows what critical race theory is. I doubt he does. But he was just talking as an observer. See if you can find Charles Barkley talking about. You got it? How long is it? Okay, we'll play it after the break. But this is on purpose. People might say communists doing this. Alex, can you hold on through the break?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Yes, that's what I said, folks. That's what I said, Marxist. Which the Black Lives Matter leaders call themselves. They scrubbed that. But they said they were trained in Marxism. I'm not making this up. And so you need to keep people stirred up. You need to make people hate one another. You need to make people skeptical of one another, and you need to make somebody the oppressor who needs to be taken down. And in the case of the Black Lives Matter and the communists, it's the white power system, and including all white people, basically. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.